On the weekend panel this morning, Janet Wilson from the public relations company Deadline, a well-known former broadcaster, of course, and former chief press secretary to Judith Collins. Morena, Janet.
Morena, how are you?
Very well, thank you. And Mike Williams, the former Labour Party president and chief executive of the Howard League for Penal Reform. Kia ora, Mike.
Kia ora, Jim.
Good to have you both loud and clear. And a short highlight or low moment from the week from each of you, please, is how we start. Janet, would you do the honours?
My highlight of the week this week was the delight of signing on to Disney Plus and getting the Beatles Get Back, Peter Jackson's brilliant interpretation of more than 60 hours of footage that Michael Lindsay-Hogg took back in the late 60s, and 150 hours of audio. Technically and creatively, it is a fantastic watch. You are in the room at a time of great creativity, but you're also witnessing huge stresses and strains within the band. It is just brilliant.
I noticed in the Independent newspaper this morning they talk about Beatles bashing, and I haven't seen Peter Jackson's documentary series, but evidently it's great. But also Beatles bashing is a thing. Can you understand that?
No, and I read that same article too, and I couldn't understand that as well. I mean, I think for the boomers, they hold a special place in our hearts, you know. Neil Finn was quoted in a New York Times article on this Get Back piece as saying that when he saw it, he got tears in his eyes because he thinks it encapsulates the creative collaborative process so very well indeed. It's extraordinary to watch.
Yeah, I'm dying to see it. And Mike, what's been on your mind, please?
Well, I had the great joy of going out to lunch for the first time in nearly 4 months on Friday, and it was frankly wonderful. I'd forgotten how good it was. And I sat and watched the traffic light system in operation with people, checking in and having their vaccine passes checked. And it ran like clockwork. It seems that just about everybody, young, old, brown, white, all knew how to do it. So it was a real joy. Quite often, a really normal thing to do after all this great long time in lockdown in Auckland.
I can understand the strangeness of it. I'll get back to your going out for lunch. And speaking of the traffic lights, to warm us up, a very old song no one's heard for half a century, suddenly relevant again. And so says Christopher Luxon. It ain't right. Auckland should be green, not red. No, says Grant Robertson, we still have a significant outbreak going on. Christopher Luxon finds justification in the way the traffic lights were originally sold to us. Now, panellists, by the way, Janet, I understand you can't hear Mike, is that right?
No, I can't.
Okay.
No, I can't.
Well, rather
and
than...
I can't hear...
Janet. I shouldn't laugh. It is a problem, which we'll try and sort out. But as long as you can both hear me, we're reasonably well vaxxed. There were more booster shots than second jabs through one day last week in Auckland. So what do you both think about what colour the traffic light should be? Mike, I'll go with you first.
Well, look, could I just say this? I think Chris Luxon is barking up the wrong tree with criticising the government's response to COVID. We've got the lowest mortality rate in the OECD. We've got an extremely high vaccination rate. The economy is ticking over very well. And he's making the same mistake as Bridges, Muller and Judith Collins in taking on the government of this. Most people are really, all research tells you, most people are really satisfied. He really needs something else to do. And the television image was ridiculous. He was walking through the viaduct and here's all these restaurants just jumping and he's criticising the settings. I just think he's got it wrong.
Janet, Mike is saying that Christopher Luxon's wrong, the government's doing this right, the evidence is in how many people are able to be out and about in Auckland. What do you think of what he said?
I would disagree. I think that we've been promised to be out of lockdowns for a long time now, and that's been dangled in front of Aucklanders and the rest of the country for a very, very long time. And now we're up to 93% of the eligible population with one dose and 87% with two doses. Why shouldn't we be enjoying those greater freedoms with some sanctions attached to it? So there is and I think that there are a lot of business people all around Auckland hanging on by their fingernails right now, who are desperate to start their businesses up again. And I mean, that's going to be what we're going to hear from next year onwards, the great decline economically as a result of this 107 days in lockdown for Auckland.
Mike, let me know when you can hear Janet again and vice versa.
Yeah, no, I'm back in contact. I can hear Janet perfectly.
Okay.
Now, Mike, how nice to hear you.
I read your piece in the Don Post, Janet. It was well written.
Thank you very much.
Did you notice, it's good that you two are getting on so well, did you notice on the TV coverage of Aucklanders out and about, speaking of that though, that masks were few and far between? And does that give you a bit of a worry?
Yes, definitely. Yeah, and I know down, I'm domiciled in Hawke's Bay these days, and it's the same down here. Although if you go to Wellington, you will find that there is a lot of compliance with masks. Pretty much everyone is wearing masks on a regular basis, which is a real regional kind of difference, really, isn't it?
It looks like double vaccinations of the eligible nationally in the late 80s will get to over 90% at some point. And that leaves 300,000 people resolutely unvaccinated, and a number of them marched in some numbers again yesterday, and presumably many of them will stay unvaxxed. What do you both think of that situation and the situation we might be in as the country opens up and Aucklanders spread out, Mike?
Well, I think that, the Howard League interfaces with the group of people who are least likely to be vaccinated on a, they're young Maori, they're offenders. They're out in rural areas. Now, we've got a three-stage operation we've developed with all of our 18 tutors. We say, are you vaxxed? And if no, can I take you for a vaccination? If no, we've raised $20,000 for $450 supermarket vouchers. And that usually seems to do the trick. Let me just read you a quick, very quick, email from Catherine, who's our tutor in Whanganui. Today I had a driving lesson for a young mum with a six-month-old baby girl and 20 weeks pregnant. She's currently a solo mum as a partner, as on remand in Whanganui prison. She's working with me on her restricted licence. On the first lesson, we talked about the vaccine. She was adamant that it was not safe for her baby. Today's drive, we discussed it again. She asked if I thought it was a good idea. I said, yes, we can do it right now if you like, and I can give you a $50 supermarket voucher. She now has her first dose, and her next one is due, I'll take her again. Now, that's a resistant person who then goes and has a vaccine. So I think that the anti-vaxxers, the hardcore, are a very small, maybe 2-3% of the population.
Okay, but that's one person or a few people at a time. In the meantime, you've got Rhythm and Vines postponed, other big events in doubt. Promoter Brent Eccles was on the telly the other night saying we really need to deliver the New Year concerts. There'll be police checks on the highways to Northland. Janet, is it the responsibility of Aucklanders to try and avoid certain destinations, or whose responsibility is it?
I think it's everyone's responsibility to behave and act as well as they can in the circumstances that they're in. We're going to talk about fear later, aren't we? And I think what's driving us at the moment as a nation is this fear. And that's manifesting itself in quite different ways. Aucklanders are incredibly, some of them, apologetic about the fact that they want to travel. And those in the regions are fearful that people people are going to come. But if everyone's vaccinated and masked and keeps social distancing, does everything right, they are protecting others around them as much as they possibly can, surely.
If fear magnifies because COVID gets worse, and God help us, we might get Omicron at some point. You're fined in Greece if you're over 60 and not vaccinated without a good reason. That's too harsh?
Yes. I think it is. Look, there's a well-known journalist and editor, 80 years old in Auckland, is a rabid anti-vaxxer. He was on Facebook denying there was even a pandemic. He cruised all over Auckland, although we were in lockdown. He got COVID and he died in the North Shore Hospital last Saturday. Mm. Now, if that's not a cautionary tale for the anti-vaxxers, I don't know what is. But you will not move people like that.
No. But they, as you've said, though, Mike, are only a very small percentage of the population, aren't they? We're talking probably 5 to 7% maybe, estimated avowed anti-vaxxers. The hesitant, and that story you told earlier is really demonstrable, because it shows that the amount of fear that's out there about and that hesitancy is a very different thing from the anti-vaxxers, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right, yep.
I've got to get to Christopher Luxon, but Auckland Council wants to charge households a climate levy so it can increase the amount of buses, ferries, cycling and walking options in the city. Yeah. So it's proposing a $1 billion climate action package in its next annual budget. And you've both been, maybe still are, I don't know, Auckland ratepayers. And my question isn't whether we need to spend money combating climate change. It's what we spend it on. What do you think, Janet?
I think it's another tax on Aucklanders. And the rates that Auckland City Council, from when I lived there 5 years ago, charges already is such that why, and the other problem, of course, that Auckland City has, that they're up against their debt ceiling. So this is why they'll be motivated to want to charge another tax. But why can't they find the money themselves out of their capital expenditures? Question. If you're concerned about climate change, wouldn't you just be, you know, doing something about it now rather than charging another tax and then saying you're going to do something about it?
I suppose the other part of the question is that it's considered easier to nudge us out of certain habits and not others. And Bloomberg is reporting the most important thing, Mike, that the average person can do to slow down climate change without having to leave the house is don't waste food. So the point is there are lots of options. What do you think about this? I mean, have you ever shopped at the supermarket without a car, Mike, for example?
No, it's very hard to get to our supermarket without a vehicle. And I think that if this is to happen, then public transport will have to improve. And Janet, I owned a property in Hawke's Bay up till about 5 years ago, and I was staggered at the the really light rates in Hawke's Bay compared with Auckland. We pay an extra levy on our petrol, and it's getting to the point where I don't think retired people are going to be able to afford to live in Auckland. So I appreciate what Mayor Phil Goff is trying to achieve, but I'd prefer that he found the money out of somewhere else.
Yeah, that's the point, Janet, isn't it? Big rates heights in Auckland could disadvantage older people, make them have to sell up.
Yeah, well, that's right. I mean, I have a son who's moved down to the Hawke's Bay because he can no longer even think about buying a house in Auckland right now. I mean, Auckland is out of the realm of the average wage earner.
This is the most streamed, we're going to continue the theme in a way, this is the most streamed song on Spotify this year.
I got my driver's license last week, just like we always talked about, because you were so excited for me to finally drive up to your house.
Olivia Rodrigo and a driver's license is still a big deal these days, as is teenage angst, but licenses may become less necessary. Mike, by the way, how is the Howard League licensing going?
Oh, well, it's been off and on. Obviously, we haven't been operating in Auckland. Yeah. We're back in business now, and there's been interruptions in the Waikato as well. But yeah, it's ticking over pretty well, and we're not finding much anti-vaxxers, people who can't get. But you know, it is becoming difficult because VTNZ and the AA have said yes, you can sit your learner license because there's no contact there, but you can't do a restricted or a full license if you're unvaccinated because you're sitting on half a metre away from somebody in a vehicle. So, you know, it's going to be difficult for the unvaxxed to get their licences.
Actually, I'll scoot through this, but there was a headline in the Sydney Morning Herald, electric vehicles can't fix the problem of cars. And Janet, Auckland Council's been wanting to limit private cars parking on roads and streets, and there's going to be a conversation on this. Do you think it's, which is sometimes thought to be code for a fait accompli or people worry about, do you think it's reasonable? Do you think our public transport options can be made good enough to discourage Kiwis, not just Aucklanders, from owning cars?
This is a cart and horse situation, isn't it? So if they're taking away private parking on side streets, before they are providing enough of a public transport service, the cart's before the horse, surely. If you're going to do that, you've got to provide people with a credible alternative. And at the moment, I'm not seeing that necessarily in Auckland. Although I've got to say that, you know, when I was travelling up there before it went into lockdown, I used the bus system quite a bit. And you could get around if you weren't too far away from where you wanted to go.
Christopher Luxon, what did you think of the arrival in the black Mercedes, Mike? What was that a statement of?
I really didn't understand that. He would have done far better just to walk across. Not a clever move in my view. I don't understand it.
Maybe Janet does.
No, I don't. I would not have advised that. That said, though, he had a pretty good week. I think he came out of the blocks quite nicely with his speech in his first Q&A. He did a walk around in Auckland. There was a lot of response to him. But I wouldn't have advised him to take the black Merc across the road at all.
You say he had a pretty good week. Commentator Carl Dufresne says on his blog, even I've been taken aback by the intensity of the character assassination he's been subjected to. The media seem obsessed with the fact that Luxon is a Christian. So, Mike, do you think he's had a good week, a good first week?
Yeah, but they all did, didn't they? They do get a bit of a honeymoon. And I think that there's a very good cartoon in the Sunday Star Times this morning where he just can't leave the National Party's baggage behind him. It's been a bitterly divided caucus. And my experience in politics is these things do not heal overnight. But what he has to do and what they're crying out for, and that may generate a bit of discipline, is unify them. And that's really what they need to do, is to try and stick together a bit. And I would say I think it's a good move to put Simon Bridges into finance to hose down that relationship.
Janet?
I would entirely agree with Mike's comments. I mean, I think the real mahi starts now. And it's not inconsiderable. The fact that he's a newbie is a risk, but it's also a positive as well, in that he doesn't belong or owe anyone anything within that caucus. So it will be up to his strength, his governance skills, to try and meld them together with, I would imagine, combination of carrot and stick, because that's what's going to be needed.
He announces his lineup, the rest of his lineup, tomorrow, I think. A very important role for Judith, he said. Janet, what do you think her role will be?
Well, it shouldn't be front bench, because that's rewarding bad behaviour. But it should be meaty enough to keep her occupied and busy. And she's got, you know, a good track record as a proven performer in certain portfolios, corrections, police, when the Nats were in government. So she should be given a meaty-ish portfolio.
Mike, you're used to the stratagems of parties. What's your opinion?
Well, I agree with Janet. I think Judith Collins is potentially a real thorn in any leader's side. and she has to be treated well. I mean, she destroyed Simon Bridges' chances on the way out, and really said that she knew that was going to happen. So, yes, I think you do need to give her something and get her teeth in, and do justice or something like that, corrections. I interfaced with her in my role at Howard League. I found her quite impressive in that area, and she was progressive. But, you know, she'll beat the law and order drum, I think.
The Pew Research, just to close on a lighter note, if you can call it that, the Pew Research Centre's polled 19,000 adults across 17 advanced economies, including ours, to try and find out the meaning of life. And they've by and large found the obvious. People prioritise family and work and material well-being and health. And it was slightly different in New Zealand. We are more into nature than other countries are, Pew says, and it has found that those who place themselves on the left of the ideological spectrum are more likely to cite nature as a source of meaning than those who place themselves on the right. Do you agree with that? My inference, I hope it's the right one, is that if you're an ACT or National supporter, you mightn't care as much about the planet as people who vote Labour, Janet.
I completely disagree with it. And I think it's really funny how they can categorise it. Well, I suppose in terms of world politics, National is a centre-right political party. It's not a Republican party. So maybe that's where they came to that conclusion. But let's talk about the Blue Greens and, you know, what a strong movement they are within the Nats themselves. I mean, they do a lot of stuff regionally and at local level all the time.
Okay, Mike, what did you make of this?
Well, I found it fascinating, and I do think that there is a left-right division. I mean, the National Party has not supported any of the climate change initiatives that this government has brought forward. There's, you know, the so-called ute tax, they're vehemently opposed to that. So I think there is that division, but I would say this, it doesn't surprise me that people put family first. I can remember when I was president of the Labour Party, running around madly in all directions, trying to do three jobs at once, a mentor of mine in Australia, a senator, said to me, on your deathbed, it will not be the Labour Party holding your hand. And I took that something to live by. So I think this is dead right.
On your deathbed, it won't be the Labour Party holding your hand.
That's right.
Or the National Party, Janet.
Or the National Party. Yes. Both are true.
Hey, lovely, we're out of time, but lovely to have you both on the weekend panel. Thanks so much for your company.